Join me once again in the book of Daniel, chapter 9. We'll pick up at verse 20. If you recall, the previous portion of this chapter is Daniel's confessional prayer. And the passage I'm reading picks up in the midst of that prayer. Verse 20 of chapter 9, book of Daniel. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for His holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the message and understand the vision. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. Know and understand this. From the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Anointed One, the Ruler, comes, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the Anointed One will be cut off and will have nothing. The people of the Ruler, who will come, will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 seven. In the middle of the 7, he will put an end to the sacrifice and offering. And on a wing of the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. Daniel is in the midst of offering prayer. It is a prayer of confession. It is a prayer of confession for the people of Israel. During his prayer, the angel Gabriel was sent immediately to respond. Notice Daniel's petition and God's answer. You see, in Daniel's prayer, he is, of course, worried about his immediate personal situation. He's concerned about the events of the time of where Israel finds itself. And this is logical. He is captured. He is within this time. So he is indeed concerned. And he refers back to, if you remember, the 70-year prophecy from Jeremiah. And so he's praying about the end of that time and confessing to God. And like I said, it's, of course, logical that Daniel would be concerned about this event. But notice how God responds to his prayer. God answers with remarks that extend well beyond Daniel's immediate dilemma. God's answer reaches in to his plans for full redemption, for full and complete reconciliation, not just the rescue of a people from bondage. You see, God works in eternity. God is not bound by our time. Our time was simply a creation of God for His creation. When God responds to prayer, God responds in eternity. Eternity right now penetrates our time. But please do not be deceived. God works in eternity. And his answers are decrees that extend well past our own particular events and have impact into all eternity. Isn't that the way it is for us? You know, we are concerned about our days. We are concerned about our events. We pray, Lord, help me now. Things are bad now. Help me now.
And sometimes we lose sight of the bigger picture. I think it's a natural tendency. But it's something we should have caution about.
Now, this by no means that you shouldn't pray for the things of your life. I know one particular professor who does not believe in prayer for the things of this time, because he believes so much in the providence of God that all those things are already taken care of. I don't believe the Scriptures quite lead us in that way. So we are to pray about the things of today. We are to pray about the things of our life, just as Daniel's is doing. But please always keep in mind, God may answer our prayers with things that impact eternity. We pray for the salvation of individuals. We pray for healing of folks we love. And those things may take place in and now our particular time. But those things also have impact far, far, far beyond what we have idea of. Let's look closer at this response, because it is intriguing, to say the least. First of all, this time frame, 77s. Well, this is a term that is not, I must say, completely clear in its interpretation. But now, while the duration is not absolutely clear, we must not lose sight of the meaning. And that was my reference in my prayer earlier, that we want to go to the 77s. We want to know the time. Lord, when are you coming back? I want to know the date so I can, you know, I want things set here. You know, let's go. And we lose the intricacies of what God is saying in this time. Yeah, God's coming. It's come. So that is fact. But let's not lose sight of what's within this. This is a divine revelation of a definite period of time that God has set for the redemption of His people. Now, when exactly, from Daniel's perspective, is that going to happen? Is this 77? Is it supposed to be days? 77 sets of days. Or is it supposed to be weeks? 77 sets of weeks. Well, some of you probably in the footnote of your Bible has got one or two of those or both of those. And you see right away, we have a discussion here. But remember, in previous chapters, we talked about this apocalyptic type of language. And I'll speak more about that in a minute. But we have to be careful if our goal is to find out literally these types of things to the sacrifice of the message given. So we have to be careful. So is it weeks, days, or is it years? Well, days and weeks doesn't quite fit the context. You see, the people of Israel have been in bondage for 70 years. So if God is saying, okay, your reconciliation, your rescue is going to be only 70 sets of 7 days. Well, that wouldn't be too comforting. You know, that wouldn't be all that wouldn't be that long. 70 sets of 7 weeks. Well, that's a little longer, but in comparison to 70 years. So here you can see some of the discussion we might have. Most conservative scholars will refer to the 77s as 70 sets of 7 years. And I'll do the math for you in a little while, so hang on. We'll talk about more. But what is to definitely be accepted is that God is telling Daniel that the end of bondage will in fact come. That's the message. A definite period has been decreed. And at the end of that time, things will be accomplished that will, in fact, liberate His people. And it will be a liberation that is once and for all. In this, we must listen closely to what is promised. And we must do that first. What is promised? First of all, look at who is making the promise. In your business dealings, if someone comes to you and says, I promise you I will do so and so. Well, that promise has the validity of the person making it. Some you can trust and
some you can't. Who is making this promise? It is God. It is God Himself. So we will accept this promise as trusted and as valid. So He has promised freedom from bondage will come no matter the timing. Remember, this has to do with the eternal decrees of God. In this prophesied 77s, we are told of six things that will take place. Six things that have been promised to Daniel, and therefore you also, as it is recorded in the Word of God. Let's read once again these six promises in verse 24. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Six things. Let's look at them each. First of all, finish transgression. Now, remember where this is in time. This is approximately 500 years before the coming of Christ. The Holy Spirit is there, but the Holy Spirit is not an indwelling within the person as it is in the New Testament period. Sin has a much, much greater realm of dominion in this phase, in this time frame, than it does in the New Testament. So these words, as we're looking back on them from a New Testament mindset, are incredible words, but I think that we could easily take them much, much lighter than someone of this time period would. So try the best you can to put yourself way back here in this time and hear these things as Daniel would hear them. First of all, finished transgression. It means that the sin of the people, which has been laid open before God since the curse, laid open before the eyes of God, will now be shut in, will now be covered up, will now be sealed up. And it's done by a God of mercy. Secondly, it says, put an end to sin, which is closely related to the first one, but it basically means that sin will no longer have dominion. Sin exists in a New Testament time period, but sin does not have dominion in a New Testament time period. In the Old Testament time period, it was a bit different. And then thirdly, this wonderful act, atone for wickedness. Here is a substitutionary event, an action on God's behalf that will cover the sinner. And this act of atonement is the act that will actually bring to pass the first two mentioned, the finished transgression and the bringing an end to sin. So here, first of all, in these first three promises, remember it's a promise at this point yet, in these first three promises, God is going to reverse the effects of what place in the garden. When Adam and Eve were disobedient, part of the curse was that they were cursed. And so therefore there was death. And in that we, too, became cursed. Sin came into the world through the actions of Adam and Eve. And so from that point until the coming of the atonement, sin had prevalence in the lives of the people. So here in these three acts that he has promised to Daniel, that he has prophesied that is coming, he's actually taking what happened in the garden and reversing it. Transgression, sin, iniquity, which had separated man from God all this time, will now be removed. How is this to be done? We have this wording, an atonement. How is this to be done? Well, at this point in the text, it does not say. And again, I'm trying to get you to at least look at it for a moment from Daniel's perspective. He's heard the language of the coming Messiah. And you'll hear it again here just in a moment. But right now, the text doesn't say. But which of us can, from a New Testament perspective, not know exactly what God is referring to? Atonement for wickedness? Bringing an end to the dominion of sin? What act in our history
Daniel's future took place that secured that. All of us know that. Three more things mentioned here that will be accomplished. Bring in everlasting righteousness. Now, for us today in this world, this is key. You see, righteousness is not found in any person. Today, popular psychologists and sociologists will teach that people are good by nature. And it is their environments, it is how they were raised, or it is some kind of persecution against them, or some sort of intimidation through their life, or influence through their life that causes them to be a bad person. And you will rarely ever hear the word evil. It's the environment that acts as an instrument. Well, that's not biblical. So therefore, it is not true. People, all people, every one of us seated here this morning are affected by the fall. All have sinned and fallen short, and all people are morally corrupt before the bringing in of righteousness. A righteousness from without. A righteousness outside the person. A righteousness coming from somewhere else. In this case, it is God who brings the true righteousness, and it is promised to the children of God, and it is a righteousness that will be everlasting. The fifth thing mentioned here in the promise is a sealing of vision and prophecy. Now, again, we throw out here one of these highly debatable points. Has prophecy ended? Have visions ended? Here, it says clearly, a sealing of vision and prophecy. This statement points to the sealing up or bringing to an end prophecy and visions of the Old Testament style. Here, Daniel's been involved in how many visions within 9 chapters? Several. Prophecies. We have the minor prophets, the major prophets, all of these in our text here, of where the very word of God is given to the people of God. But here God is saying a sealing up or an ending, bringing to an end the Old Testament prophecy style. You see, the Old Testament prophecies, they all pointed toward the Messiah. With the coming of the Anointed One, which is given here, these prophecies and visions are no longer needed. And we, from the New Testament perspective, look back on all of these things and we say that prophecies and visions have ended because everything that God has to say to His people, He has said. God has nothing new to say. He has much to reveal. But He has said all that He needs to say and desires to say. So visions and prophecies of revealing the very Word of God have been shut up, have been closed. Because that which is prophesied from Daniel's perspective will come. And so prophecies are no longer needed. Now, finally, it says that there will be an anointing of the Most Holy. Here, within this entire package of all these things that's going to be done for the people of God, in this 77s, the final one is to anoint the Most Holy. To anoint means simply to set apart or to identify for a particular purpose. In the Old Testament passages, this is done by the coming and going of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would come upon a person for a particular act, for a particular ministry, and then it would leave. He would leave. This anointing sets apart the individual, the Most Holy in this case, for a particular person. Therefore, according to this prophecy, Christ, which we know as the Anointed One, will be set apart by the coming of the Holy Spirit for the purpose of which He is given. Again, us, we from a New Testament perspective, what does this remind you of? What is the first thought that comes to mind? The baptism of Jesus and the descending of the dove. The coming of the Holy Spirit on the Anointed One. Here in this promise, which has six parts, if you will,
We see that God of all creation has responded to the prayers of Daniel and has decreed events for the salvation of His people, and that they are far reaching, much, 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 much farther and farther reaching than the 70 years of which Daniel is concerned. Through the coming of the Anointed One, God will turn back, praise the Lord. God will turn back, has turned back the effects of the fall. So when, according to prophecy, when are we to assume this will come? Or when will this come? When will all of this take place? From Daniel's perspective, you can, if I were to assume here for just a moment, oh Lord, when will this come? These wonderful ideas that You have given me, oh Lord, how long will Your people be in bondage? In the providence of God, a time has been set for the liberation of the people. The time was communicated to Daniel in this passage. 77s must pass. 77s must pass. But when is that? When does it begin? When does it end? When was the period that God was communicating to Daniel? Well, for the sake of time, I'm going to say you'll have to come back next week. Because when we get into the 77s, it's tremendous in its impact. When we begin speaking of the desolation that causes abomination, it is prophesied in here within the 77s. When was that? We will talk about that next week. But here, one of the reasons I broke it up is I did not want to be concerned with prognosticating and looking at times. I want us to understand the promises. The promises, an end to transgression, a sealing up of sin, the bringing in of everlasting righteousness. That's what He said would happen. And as I've said, we on the New Testament side of this can sit here and say, yes, it's happened. But from Daniel's perspective, he is still concerned with the coming events. We must acknowledge the promise God has made to His people. No matter the timing, the promise has been made. No matter the date set, the promise has been made. We may not know the time, but we do know the One who gave the promise. That's enough. That's enough. The Anointed One was prophesied to come, and we know that He has come. But He's also prophesied to come again. And that is the one which we wait. He has prophesied to come again and take us home. So we could be with Him everlasting. It's God who has made this promise. And so we can stand on these promises.